Yes, sir. Hey, this is your host, Brandon.
And I'm Q.
And guess what, y'all? This is the Kimi Pod. Listen, to all my listeners, if y'all a regular listener, thank you for even tuning in, man. Appreciate you. And also to the new ones that are coming along, man. Listen, I want you to do is I want you to like, share, give me a 5-star rating. And then also, while you at it, man, go ahead and visit our social media page. It's Instagram. It's at Kimi Pod Podcast on Instagram and also on Facebook, too, as well. Yes, sir. Q, where we at with it, brother? Welcome back.
Yes, sir. It's been a minute. Feel like it's been forever. What you got going?
Ain't too much, man. Just the regular... Oh yeah, there we go. Hey, this is a regular day, man. I had a long week. It wasn't too long. I ain't had a bad week though. What about you?
You see, I had a good. No, you know what? This week, for some strange reason, seemed to be extra busy. I think every day I got home maybe 8-9 o'clock every day this week, and then Friday I went the route and tried to do my own brakes and rotors on my car. First time ever I went and spent.
Oh, you did it?
Well.
Oh, I thought you tried. Did. Okay, you tried. Okay.
But my homeboy had to come rescue me.
Okay.
Man, I went and bought the jack, the car stand and all that. Spent $500 on the brakes, the rotors and all the stuff. All the little, you know, tools and all that. Man, after about 2 hours, I couldn't get one bolt off. I said, you know what? Let me call somebody for help. So I spent my whole Friday afternoon doing that. Didn't get finished till like 2:19 in the morning.
Dad, 219 off yes, two sir. Rotors. But off you learned two. Something, though.
Yeah, I
you
did.
You learned yourself something, though, for sure. Dad, that's what's up, though, man. I'm sitting here thinking I got to change two of my tires. Actually, I got to put two plugs in them. And then I got to do something to my daughter's car because young teenagers, man, they can't drive worth for nothing, man. She got the rim kind of. She damaged the rim on the side and also punched took some of the leather off the side of the tire. So I'm
well, she must be rough, ain't it?
Man.
She rough?
She don't be paying attention, man. She be on that phone. Even though I got this app, and for all the parents who have teenager drivers, man, you definitely want to invest in Life 360. Life 360, they don't tell you a whole lot, but it do tell you, you know what I'm saying, when your child driving, speeding, when they speeding, when they on the phone, and you know what I'm saying, where they at, you know what I'm saying, how many times they's on the phone, and then the one most important one that I love is how many times they hard brake, you know what I'm saying, they press the brake hard. So, yeah, and I've been kind of going over that with her because brakes ain't cheap.
They ain't, and also too, man, I don't think these kids really understand. I don't know, when I was in school, we had this thing where like, it was about drinking and driving, but they used to come do this little visual thing of like a car accident scene thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and it kind of just had an effect on me. And when they come to being on that road, I don't take that very lightly because, man, a car is a dangerous thing if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do.
It is.
It's a dangerous thing.
It is, man. Lord, I ain't never had gotten in no major accident, knock on wood. Thank God for that, though. And hopefully I don't have to witness. I don't even want to witness a bad accident.
Yeah, man, because them things, I done seen accidents leave people, like, unrecognizable. Like, yeah. So that ain't nothing to play with.
I think that's where I'm going to have to show some pictures or something to my daughter, man. That's another thing, man. This weekend, previous weekend, I think I was telling y'all I was going out witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, just to bring that part up, yo, man, we went out. It was two other people that came along with me, man. We went knocking on doors, old school. I ain't did that in a long time. And knock on doors and, you know, and we had two people who got saved.
Oh, that's a blessing.
Yeah, two people who had got saved, man. And we got some other people who got prayed over. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, straight old school, bro. Like,
so how was the reception on that, you know, when y'all was going knocking and stuff? How was the reception?
Oh, well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I ain't really good at knocking on people's doors and talk, but I had some OGs with me, some people that been like a lot older, you know what I'm saying? They was like OGs, man, and you know, and I thought it was gonna be real bad, but it wasn't. And then we had a couple people that was like, nah, you know, we gave them some little pamphlet, some cards or whatnot to for them to come out to Resurrection Sunday and also just come into Bible study on Tuesdays and stuff like that. But for the most part, man, like I was just shocked about the people who really was like, I'm talking about young people was asking for prayer.
That's amazing. And man, shout out to y'all guys too, man, because actually, y'all are doing God's work on a whole different level because the Bible actually says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel men. Like, yeah. It's easy to do it from a, I ain't going to say it's easy, but typically we think about doing it from a church. So actually getting out there, putting, like they say now, boots on the ground,
yeah,
and actually going out there doing the work in that manner. Man, shout out to y'all, man. That's real big.
Oh, man, I was really blessed by that, man. Then we had two people who wanted to get baptized too as well, man. And the one young lady was 24 and the other guy was 35. And man, he got five kids. He came outside, he got five kids, and he said his wife pregnant with the sixth child. And while he was outside, we was just talking to him. Man, them kids were tearing that house up.
hey, that's enough to make you want to give your life to God.
Oh, man. Hey, yo, real talk. Yo, bro was like, man, he had to stick his head back in it. Hey, man, y'all better chill out, man. Y'all sit down somewhere, man. They was running. They was tearing the house up. Only thing I heard was them kids like running back and forth in the house, man. I said, oh, my God. Five kids?
So,
brother, you should have been giving your life to God.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Boy, that's a lot.
Nah, man, but yeah. And so yeah, I was blessed by that, man. Matter of fact, he wasn't even from around here either, man. He was from he said he just got finished talking to his wife a couple of days ago about finding a church home. And he said, man, y'all came by the door, yo. Like he said, man, I needed that. I need prayer, yo. So it was like divine. It was a divine, you know what I'm saying, time. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, we wasn't even gonna knock on the door. You know what I mean? But one of the elders, and she was like, yeah, let's knock on this door. And I was like, all right, yeah, we can knock on this door.
That's crazy how God set up divine, like divine timing and all that.
Yeah. But other than that, man, it was pretty dope, man. What else, yo? And another thing, too, I was just thinking about, man, and this is probably going to get into the part of the show that we was going to talk about. I found out, you know, for the past few weeks, bro, I ain't been having a whole lot of energy. And y'all boys, y'all probably ain't really recognize it. It probably didn't even seem like it.
Yeah, because in the group, you've been going
chat,
hard.
I've been going, yeah. So, and the reason because of that is because I went to the doctor, went to get checked. They checked my blood and everything else and stuff like that. And then I was telling him I just ain't had no energy, you know what I'm saying? Seemed like I ain't got no energy. And so he was like, you know, let's check your own testosterone. And he checked in and he said it was low, you know what I'm saying? And he said, and I asked him what typically can make that low? He said, man, once you get in your 30s, he said your testosterone start dropping, you know what I'm saying? So basically, he gave me a shot. Man, he gave me a shot in the ass. Well, he didn't, but his nurse, man, let me tell you, that needle was so long, bro. Oh, my God.
Man, listen, I know the feeling, not for that reason, but, man, I had to get a shot because I had a sciatic nerve flare-up. I didn't even know I had, like, those type of problems.
Yeah.
Man, they came in. He said, man, we're going to have to give you a shot in your butt, man. I said, listen. Man, that lady pulled that needle out. I said, yo. I said, ain't no other way we can do this. They said, nah, this the route we got to go, man. I'm like, sheesh.
Ah, man. Hey, yo, like when, and then I had a, you know what I'm saying, mine was low. So, it you know, I had to get two shots, like, but within 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying? So I got one, you know what I'm saying? And I just recently got the last one. But I brought all that up to say this, man. So they say it's a clinically studied men, I guess, when their testosterone is low, you know what I'm saying? Like they, you know, fatigue, you know what I'm saying? And then also, you know, it they say it's tied into, you know, depression too. You know what I'm saying? That's what my doctor said. He said it tied into depression. A lot of men be dealing with, like, be feeling low or, you know what I'm saying, feeling depressed. That could be one of the causes. And, you know what I'm saying, I just asked him, you know, what can, you know, what can help with that? Of course, what we eat and what we do, you know what I'm saying? But not all, what we eat and we work out, stuff like that, that kind of help a little bit. But the other part is, you know what I'm saying, taking time for yourself, you know what I'm saying, to the mental part of it. And that's part of the show that I kind of want to kind of dive into, you know, the stigma around men taking time for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, how, like, where you at with that, man? Prioritizing self-time.
Really, man, I was having this conversation with the, I was having this conversation with the fellas today at church, well, at the church. I think, like, you know, prioritizing your self as men, I feel like a lot of times everything takes precedence over our own mental health. Like, we know we got to work. We know we got to take care of the family. We got to do this. We got to do that. So we never really carve out any time to have a self day. Like, and to me, that's an important time. And when I say self day, I don't mean, oh, I got to go get pampered. I'm talking about a day or some time, not even a whole day, but some time where you say, okay, at this moment, no matter what I got going on in life, I'm just going to let life be life, and I'm going to step away from it. That's not saying all your problems going to go away. It is what it is. Problems going to be here whether you take self-time or not. It's going to be here. So I think all men should, you know, take some time to actually, like, just breathe. And I know that sounds very minute, but, like, my thing is, like, okay, if I ever feel overwhelmed, and I don't feel like talking about it, I'm going to my car. I'm going to sit down in my car. I'm going to play me some music, and I'm going to just chill. Like, because the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow has its own problems. So either way it go, whatever you got going on, it's going to be there. But I think it's very important for men to actually take that self time. Like, and it's never really talked about for men, because it's always, we got to do this. We got to. You also got to look out for your mental well-being too, because you can't operate the best version of yourself if your mental is not right, because that's anything that you're going to do is going to start in the mind. Any idea, any plans, any thing that you got going on starts in your mind. If your mind is clouded, if your mind is going through all this stuff, you ain't the best version of yourself. Yeah, I can make a sound decision, but what if my mind was clear? How would my decision making be then? It might be a little bit better. So I think we have to make it a natural thing. We have to make it a normal thing for men to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go get my haircut today. After I get my haircut, I'm gonna go to a place of my choosing to sit down and eat. And I deal with them bad kids when I get back home. I deal with this nagging lady when I get back home. I deal with this need to be done at the house when I get back home. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go get me a haircut. I'm gonna sit down and enjoy me some food. I'm not gonna even think about what I got to deal with when I get home. If that's at all possible for it to, you know, I know the stuff be on your mind so heavy, but we have to find some type of way to just get a breath of fresh air away from that. Just if it's nothing but 4 hours, that'll do us. That it's small, but it'll do us some good, because we don't really do it now. A lot of men don't do it. Like, most men that I'm talking to, if I ask them, like, when the last time you actually had a self day where you went out to just chill, maybe with the guys, maybe by yourself, but when the last time you really chill, just you say, you know what, I ain't even about to worry about nothing. I'm chilling right now. Whatever is going on, it's going to be that. But I'm going to take some time to just clear my mental. What, do you do it? Like,
I got better with doing it. Like, you know, like for instance, I don't work on Fridays. And, you know, at one point in time, I always felt like convicted that I wasn't doing that productive. mm-hmm. right? I don't know what that is, but I always felt convicted if I wasn't working on something or working on myself or doing something, you know what I'm saying? And probably for the past few months and since the beginning of this year, I told myself that on Fridays, I ain't gonna do nothing. Like, mm-hmm. and my nothing is, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing planned. I'ma just, you know, I remember one day I just sat home and snacked and look at Netflix and caught up on, you know what I'm saying, a show or two, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that was simple. You ain't got to really spend no money. It's just, you know what I'm saying, you ain't got to do nothing. But in the past, I was convicted, man, from not doing nothing. Not putting my mind to doing something. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got real convicted. I don't know why. I think, you know, coming from, a hustle background, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You feel like you got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to, you know, hustle or make money or, you know what I'm saying, put your time to use. You know, I think that right there had plays a lot on, you know what I'm saying, our generation, that we always got to be grinding, especially if you kind of looking on social media and be like, you know what I'm saying, man, they out here working, and you looking at some motivation videos or something, somebody, you come across a video and somebody making you feel bad from just sitting down scrolling, you just chilling. And that for some odd reason, it convicted me a whole lot. But I ain't never really heard anybody who sat and said, you know what I'm saying, talk about like, hey, when the last time you just kind of had some time for yourself not to do nothing and just rest your mind. I ain't came across them, except for one guy, Jason Wilson. You know what I'm saying? He one of the guys that, you know, he got 3 books out, but he one of the guys that always used to talk about prioritizing your health and your mental health, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, like, if you go on Facebook right now or look at them reels, man, somebody grinding or making you feel like you ain't doing enough.
Mm-hmm. So for that, I want to shout you out for one, for at least acknowledging that you were doing it and to try to make changes for it, because that's big yeah. time. Number two, I feel like, and before you went to the social media, I was already thinking, I'm like, that's a huge part, because you, like you said, social media tells you, hey, you watching this video right now. You watching me, but what could you be doing? So the game is, I'm telling you this, but I'm recording these videos for you to watch. I get paid by your consumption of social media. So on one part, I'm telling you, don't watch my videos, but and most people don't just record a video. They edit them. They make sure it's the best quality when they put it up to draw people to watch it. But then they'll tell you, you shouldn't be scrolling on your phone. Well, if everybody took your advice, you wouldn't make no money off social media because nobody would be watching it. So they're in itself, come on, what you want me to do? You want me to watch a video? You want me to get up? So I don't let that determine like my version of what I feel like being a successful guy is, because like you said, hustler mentality and hustle background, even before social media, I rest when I die. Rich people don't rest. That's not true. That's not even possible. Rich, the people will have you thinking rich people don't even sleep. I'll sleep when I die. What type of thought is that? Like, and that's really what a lot of people go by. Like, I'll rest when I die. I don't subscribe to a lot of stuff that these people do and these people say. Like me personally, I've always been my own man. So you got to do what's right for you. Everything is a personal journey. So although it works for this guy to work 1,000 hours a week, for me, I'm not about to do that. I'm going to get me some sleep and I'm going to get me some me time. I'm going to do that because I understand operating at the best version of myself means I have to be of clear mind to do that. So the fact that you doing that now, man, shout out to you.
Well, let me ask you a question. I got a few questions, but have you ever felt judged or labeled as lazy, selfish, or weak for stepping back? Like I say, I'm chilling. Have you ever heard anybody call you that before? Oh, that ain't one of the things you.
Nah, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that. That may be some people's opinion of me. I don't know. I don't know. Like,
ain't like you care. Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest, bro. Yeah. I be, and I ain't no better than nobody. But I'm so solidified and being self-aware of who I am, like somebody thought process of me really don't make me no difference because I'm so self-aware. Like, if you say I'm lazy, I know I'm not lazy. If you say anything about me that's opposite of what I know, I don't care. Now, if you say something that kind of tug at me, and it could be true, a hit dog gonna holler every time. But your thought of me don't change what I do or who I am. So I'm self-aware. So no, I ain't. If they are saying that or if they have alluded to that, I don't know.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, when I was younger, man, my mom and them, they always like call me lazy. You know what I'm saying? For real. Like, so maybe you can help me out with this. I don't know, because I've still think of this, just thinking about it. You know, maybe I was lazy in some aspect, but I used to, like, say, for instance, it was my turn to wash dishes or something like that. I used to pay my brothers to wash dishes. I pay them, like, I give you a couple of dollars, $2 to wash these dishes. $5.
I'm going to be honest with you. If, I don't think that's so much lazy as it is smart. I mean, that's entrepreneurial at its heart right there. Like, think about business owners. I probably could do this job, but I'm going to pay you to do the job. So are we going to say the business owner is lazy?
That's a good way to look at it.
That's, to me, I wouldn't say, like, if my son was doing it, I would probably be mad, but I would admire that, too. I'd be like, dang.
But let me tell you what my brother did, though, which got in trouble. So I used to pay him. When my turn to wash dishes, I used to pay him to wash dishes. I always used to negotiate. But what he was doing was he was throwing the dishes, putting in the bag, and throwing them in the trash.
Oh, no. Oh, no. now they say
I
good.
I got in trouble, boy.
The part about being the business owner is they say good help is hard to find. And obviously, that's true. Yeah, you can't do it. Now, if I'm going to pay you and we're going to negotiate now, you got to stick till the end of the bargain.
Threw the dishes in the trash, man. My mom was trying to figure out why all the forks keep getting missing.
Dang. Boy, he was really doing it, ain't he? He was doing it up. But nah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think he was lazy for that. I would look at you like, dang, boy, my son is very entrepreneurial. Let me see where we could take that.
Oh, man, that's funny, though, man.
But I got a question for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Honestly speaking, how much merit do you put into what people think of you?
So that's a good question. Probably a good bit. And I think reason being, well, I answered the first part of the question. I struggle with that. I have gotten better, but it used to be horrible. I used to think about every little teeny little thing. But as I got older, I got a lot better. It's just worse. People just been saying stuff and manipulate you to do certain stuff. Kind of how I was looking at it. And if it applied to me, then I'll take it in and examine it. But other than that, like, I didn't got better with it. But it was horrible.
Most definitely.
A little better.
And I asked that because I think, you know, for myself, I think being self-aware of, like, who and what you are kind of allows you to navigate that kind of stuff a little bit. Because when I was a little bit younger, man, social media used to have me going in circles. I'm talking about, like you said, about the resting and, just for my mental health overall, I don't think social media was good for me when I was younger because social media tells you how you should live your life in all aspects. And it gives you a false sense of, like, what life really is and, like, oh, if you ain't doing this, then you this. If you ain't doing that, then you this. So I think, like, even people that you around, you know, that can become a thing. Like, if they say this about you, they say that about you, actually believing what they say. But, man, I've gotten so mature in knowing who I am and, like, knowing what I am. Like, that kind of stuff really just don't faze me anymore. Like, of course I want people to feel like I'm a good, trustworthy, honest person. But, like, as far as, like, to the T of, like, oh, he's lazy, he's this, I don't really care like that. It don't really bother me.
Yeah. Man, listen, somebody said something to me today, and they asked me, he's like, Brandon, you all right? I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Why you ask? It's like, you just don't seem like your normal self. And I was like, what I'm doing different? And it was like, I don't know, it just seemed like you. I said, oh, okay, well, you know, I said, I don't know what to tell you about that, but maybe, I said, I ain't been going to the gym for a few weeks, maybe my energy off. She's like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying, it seemed like your energy down, but I was like, okay, well, that don't necessarily mean something wrong with me, you know, but people be looking for certain things, man. But I would say this, in the past, I would have been analyzing that, like, dang, what about me to change?
Right, right.
Like, am I doing something? Hey, going home like, hey, baby, you think I didn't change something going on with me?
Yeah, that, but I'm okay. We laughing about it, but think about how much mental strain and think about the mental hold that living like that has over you. Just something that simple to say, oh, I don't know, something changed about you, and you really go home and do a whole whole analytic thing of yourself, like, dang, did I change? Am I acting new? Was my attitude bad? Like, yo, if you gonna react like that to every time somebody says those type of things to you, man, think about the mental headspace that you're gonna be in. So, man, I'm glad you got delivered from that, man. Cause that and myself too, like, cause that is a hard way to live, to like be worried about everybody's opinion of you. That's like I seen the saying that said, if you live for the cheers, you'll die by the booze. Like if you living for people to just pat you on your back when somebody say something negative about you, it about kill you.
Yeah, I think it kind of stemmed from hopefully I pronounce this word right, man. Sometimes I have a hard time pronouncing this word, but it's cognitive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that right there, you know what I'm saying? I think it got a lot to do with that, you know. Mm-hmm. The way we think and how we see ourselves, what you was going in details about. Now, for me, that stemmed from a place, just going, you know, so I'm gonna go a little beneath the surface a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from a place where when I was younger, and you know, I used to do certain things, and I used to be called stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or dumb. Like, boy, what's wrong with you? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? In them early development years, you know what I'm saying? As they say, a kid from 0 to 10 years old, man, they gonna learn, they gonna learn more in them years than they'll ever learn in life, because those are the foundation of their life, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And so during them years right there, like, you know, I felt like the inner me been torn down. And so as I got older, you know, I've been trying to do things to reassure myself, you know what I'm saying, a whole lot, or impress people, you know what I'm saying? But I think it goes back to my cognitive thinking, mm-hmm. You know, how I feel about myself, you know what I'm saying? And so that right there, for most people who have been, I guess, been raised around certain, have parents that was young, like my parents was young, and when they had me, and my dad was battling his own PTSD, you know, from being in war and stuff like that.
Right.
And he had a whole lot of patience about a lot of stuff, man. So as a kid, I was just, you know, saying, you know, you got young boys, like, they just doing all types of crazy stuff. But, you know, he ain't had no patience for it, man. He used to tear us down, boy. I ain't gonna lie.
So with that, we're not going to dive deep into the trauma thing for, like, the personal trauma. But so if someone is dealing with like personal trauma from a childhood, like as far as in this sense, what's some things that you've done to kind of like, whether it was reading, praying, you know, surrounding yourself with different people, what's some stuff that you've done to kind of help you overcome that? Because I'm sure some of the listeners have gone through their own personal traumas and maybe looking for a way to get better and get in the clearer headspace. So what's some stuff you've done?
Man, that's a good question, man. I and this right here, I'm still ongoing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm still there's a lot of things about me that I'm still maturing in. But for starters, man, what I did was I always used to work out, you know what I'm saying, all the time. Used to do certain things. So that kind of started, you know what I'm saying, for me. I guess it started the path of, you know, building myself up, working out. You work out, you kind of get a sense of empowerment about yourself, you know what I'm saying? You see your body change, you're getting stronger. But then I had to go to another level with it, and I had to go deeper. I ended up getting you know, you can talk to a, a pastor or somebody, but you know, and I did, but I still ain't had get. I didn't get what I needed. I ain't seen the help that transformed me to where I'm at now. So what I did was got a therapist. You know what I'm saying? And I had a therapist, and still got a therapist. To kind of break down certain things, man, and that goes back to the cognitive to thinking development. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Development, how I felt about myself. I remember when I first started off of finding a therapist, man, I was talking to this therapist, and he said, he was just, you know what I'm saying, I was just telling him about myself. He said, hey, brother, he said, man, listen, he said, only thing I hear is you just kind of being hard on yourself, beating up on yourself. He said, man, the world good at doing that. It, like, you going to beat up on yourself too. So I didn't even recognize that I was so harsh on myself, even during them times, you know what I'm saying? But he helped me to, you know what I'm saying, look at myself in a different light, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And, you know, and practical things like looking at myself in the mirror and just saying I'm enough, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, stuff like that. And prayer, praying, certain prayers I used to write my prayers out, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, and read it out loud. Certain things that apply to me, you know what I'm saying, using scriptures and stuff like that. And I still do that to this day. Like, I the same thing, you know what I'm saying, from my faith walk to, you know, the way I think of myself. I'm courageous. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I got the mind of Christ. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm enough. You know, it's just like certain things that I just have to constantly tell myself. Even I still do that to this day, though. Q, I'm gonna be real with you, man.
Okay. So with that being said, it's a few things that I wanted to ask you. First, I know basically you saying, like, nowadays they'll call it positive affirmations, but I call it, you know, when we speak those things that are not as though they were. So affirmations to yourself is a thing that helped you get past it, right? Okay, and also with the therapist, because we know that there's a negative light on therapists sometimes, especially in our community, in the Black community, in amongst men. So what was the stigma when you was looking for a therapist? Did you not even care about it?
I did care. The reason why it took me so long to find a therapist is because of that stigma. And mm-hmm. that stigma was, if you go to a therapist, you must be crazy. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times I thought therapists was for crazy people. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? To be honest. But I just, and somebody else recommend therapy. My pastor did. He recommended me to seek a therapist that can, you know, that I can, you know, identify with or feel comfortable with. And so that would help me. And I thought it was pretty dope, because I know most pastors feel like that, nah, like, you know what I'm saying, you just need to pray. You don't need to, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. you know. And he always used to say, well, you do the practical, you know what I'm saying, you do the practical, and then God do the, you know what I'm saying, the spiritual, you know what I'm saying. So it's like, he recommended me to, you know, I thought that was pretty dope, though, you know.
Right, okay. So with that being said, church folks, we want y'all to hear this. Do the practical and the spiritual. Stop telling these people, just pray, just pray, just pray. That is part of it. You pray. Pray without ceasing. But God has blessed these people with knowledge to be able to help us. We got to start with the stigma of it's bad to go to a therapist. Yeah. Because, like, that was going to be one of my other questions. Like, what made you, like, get into it? But you already told us that. So my next thing was, you said it, somebody that you identify with. Because I think a lot of times, also what turns people off in our community with, if they do decide to go that route of a therapist, is finding somebody that has some type of commonality with them. Like, I'm going to just be honest. It would be hard for me to go to a white therapist because, and I'm not racist, but it'd be hard for me to go to a white therapist because we don't have a lot of shared experiences. So when I'm talking to you, some things you might not be able to relate to. So I'm not saying that's the thing for everybody, but for me, certain things that I'm explaining to you or that I may tell you, you might not get. So, like, how did you go about, like, finding the right therapist for yourself?
Man, that's a good question. When I told my pastor who I went with, and he asked me, he said, that's an interesting take. So with me, I didn't want nobody that felt like they know me because they the same color as me. So, and the guy that I went with, he was an old white man. I thought he was, you know what I'm saying? He could have been racist, but you know, just by me looking at him, but he wasn't though, you know, and he invited me to his home. And man, he was a blessing to me. I ain't even going to sit here and fake, but that's who I went with, man. And my thought was, I didn't want nobody to feel like they automatically knew me. And early on when I was looking for somebody, you know what I'm saying? I had chose a black guy and he already thought that he knew my path, my walk, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? As a black man, he know what I was dealing with. And that may be the case. And I wanted somebody to kind of work, you know what I'm saying? Use their degree. You know what I mean? I ain't want nobody. It wasn't going to be easy because it's many layers to me. And I wanted somebody to kind of, you know, break me down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I had wanted somebody that didn't know me and didn't felt like they was, you know, going in for some, you know what I'm saying, for hours, just for some money, you know what I'm saying,
right,
and make
right.
it easy. So I went with somebody that was going to kind of really dig a lot deeper and, you know what I'm saying, go below the surface when it came down to me. So that's why I choose. And I'm going to say his name, Mr. Jim. Man, Mr. Jim, boy, he was a blessing to me.
Man, know what? This is why our conversation is so important. Just this quick, and this is why you have to have an open mind when you're talking to people. Just that quick on what I just said about finding a black therapist. When you just explained that just now, I'm like, yo, I've never thought about it from that perspective. Because I would actually, if I did therapy, I would actually be open, because of what you just told me, I would actually be open to, you know, trying out maybe a white person. Like, because what you said makes a lot of sense. You may, like, as a black therapist, you may already feel like you know my whole walk. And what you just said made me, like, that opened my eyes to a different possibility, man. So for one, that's why these conversations are very important. Like, cause like I said, man, you just really opened my eyes to that. I ain't never thought about it from that perspective.
Well, that's what my pastor said. He said that was interesting. Like I wouldn't never.
Yeah.
He wouldn't never have seen it from that place though. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna tell you, man, Mr. Jim was like that man. Yo, like he was a truly blessing to me. Even when it came down to my marriage, you know what I'm saying? Certain things, you know, and he helped me, man, he actually helped me to love my wife from a place that I felt like I wasn't able to love her from, you know what I'm saying? And I miss him, yo. He ended up retiring and, you know, and we keep in contact here and there, you know what I'm saying? But, man, I miss that guy, yo. I ain't even gonna lie. He changed the way I look at everything.
Man, that's a blessing. And like I said before, man, that's I'm glad we had this conversation, because you know, a lot of times the stigma behind therapy is such a bad one. And just in your case, for it to be able to help you grow as much as you've grown, man, that's hey man, for the listeners, again.
Yeah.
Make sure y'all get on that therapy wave if you feel like you need it, man.
I think that's prioritizing self time too, don't you
Most
think?
Most definitely. I think so. That's the highest prioritization of self. Because it's one thing to sit down and be in your thoughts by yourself, but it's another thing to have somebody try to help you navigate those thoughts, navigate your feelings, and it's that you feel comfortable enough to even open up to, that's not looking at you from a bias. You don't have to be the strongest person in the situation. You could be your, for lack of a better word, weak, vulnerable self in front of somebody. That's the highest form of, like, you know, self-time to be becoming a better version of yourself.
And I would say this too, just to add in for everybody who, you know what I'm saying, seeking to find a therapist. A lot of times, matter of fact, my baby brother, he just for the very first time, he ended up finding a therapist and he was talking to. But I had to tell him, because he said the therapist said something that he didn't like. And I told him, you know, like, you might have to give it some time. Like, if you felt comfortable with him for a couple times, I said, you might, you know, have to give it like 3 to 5 sessions to, you know what I'm saying? Because it take that long for, you know, especially for a man. You know, as a man, when we greet somebody, you know what I'm saying, our walls immediately up. And then, like, because, you know, that just naturally being a man, like, you know, you ain't never greeting somebody and let your guard down, you know, and that could just, you know, that just be anything. So, you know, with therapists, sometimes your guard kind of be up just a little bit. You hesitant, especially your first time. But, you know, just see it through 3 to 5 sessions, man. You know, put a goal in that, you know, a time, 3 to 5 session. And if you don't like them, the good thing is, you know, you can find somebody else, you know what I'm saying, before you really get too far in, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, like with me, and the other part is you become, I didn't come dependent on my therapist, you know what I'm saying, because he gave me homework and told me what to do and stuff like that. But, you know, after a while, after you've been doing it for so long, man, it's like, you know, seem like y'all become good friends, a friend that you paying for. It seems like y'all good friends, man, but then he, you know, he's able to break it down. Now, I know our boy Walt, he, you know what I'm saying, it's true, you know what I'm saying? We can, as friends, we all good friends, we can tell each other about certain things, but, you know, everybody in different places in their life, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even, you know what I'm saying, I was talking to somebody about something, and, you know, like, they ain't had nothing to say. It was just like, wow. You know, so it's like not everybody going to understand you or identify with you. Not even therapists either. But, you know what I'm saying, they probably got practical things, man, where he can kind of see, you know what I'm saying, change your perspective, how you look at things. Because my perspective was all jacked up.
Right, and you just said something very major, perspective. In life, sometimes that's all we need is a perspective change. Because it goes back to the old saying, you could look at the glass half empty or half full. So your perspective is a major thing. So if somebody can help you with just changing your perspective on a lot of times, like, okay, so with me, when things are going bad, I don't always hit the mark because I'm not perfect, but I try to think of it like this: glass half empty, half full. Things are going bad right now, but I guarantee you there is somebody in this world who would love to trade spots with you and take on whatever you feel is your worst thing that's going on right now. So it can always be worse. So perspective is a big thing in navigating, you know, mental health in general. Because although my car broke down and it took me this long to get my brake pads and my rotors done, somebody don't have a car. Somebody can't afford to get their brakes and rotors fixed. So just that perspective alone, if you're sitting up there, you're mad because you got to pay for it. You're mad because of this, because of that. There is somebody who would love to have a car. Oh, that's all I got to get fixed? All right, let me do that. So just perspective. So having somebody to help you with that alone is a blessing, man.
Yeah, it is, though, man. I ain't even going to lie. How long we got? Okay. Yeah, man, I really had one. I know, and I love way we kind of pivot off to, man. But I really wanted to talk about masculinity. What does masculinity mean to you now versus what you were taught growing up? And when we talk about masculinity, because originally we was talking about self, prioritizing self, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times it's a stigma behind, you know, just people prioritizing yourself, man. And the culture, especially like growing up, man, growing up, the culture of how we feel, like what we were just talking about, like being, you know, hustling and everything else. And when it comes down to our masculinity and what that means to us and how we kind of, you know what I'm saying, going in and how we view resting, just chilling, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people, I'm going to tell you, we got some friends, man, they could be on go mode 24/7.
I'm going to call them out. Travis can be on go mode 24/7.
That ninja could go.
He can go, man. And
I'm talking about, he put the battery on his back, man. But he don't ever talk about them low days, the moments, you know what I'm saying, when he duck off and you don't hear him for 2 days. That when he self-prioritizing probably.
Yeah, yeah. I think with him, man, I really have an admiration for his work ethic.
I do too, man.
How hard he go. Because, man, he's... And he does it from a point where he want to He want to empower the people to see a different light in a different manner. And like I always say about this whole journey, even when we, y'all, and to let y'all know this too, everything with us ain't always good. We had a little spat one day about our viewpoints and our perspectives on stuff. So I don't want y'all to ever think like, them guys, they just, nah, we had a little spat. And I think, you know, personal things, like however somebody does something, like to each is his own. I mean, we always say that, but every journey is personal. I may look at some of the stuff that somebody else does and be like, I wouldn't do that. They may look and see what I do and be like, I wouldn't do that. So each journey is personal. But for him, man, his thing is go, 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 go. And he's a go-getter. And like I said, he does that because he want to see the community better, want to see our culture better. But
and we're going to get him on the show too, man.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point in time.
Man, he's a road runner, man. We try, man, that when I tell y'all he's all go and the hustle from him, like, if you ain't highly motivated, he ain't going to be no person that you could keep up with, man, because this dude is always on go. But like I said, I admire that because you have a lot of people that say, I want this, but they ain't willing to put in the work to get it. So with him, he's a road runner, man. He's a go-getter.
And you got to be careful when you say, like, say, Vince, you got business idea, and you say, yeah, I was thinking, where I can help at? What we can do? You know what I'm saying? So if you put it out there, he ready to kind of help, you know what I'm saying, fuel your vision. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can't be hate by
and
that.
And I'm going to tell you, though, and the great thing about him is, him and Walt are both great with this. If you say it, they not about to let you sleep on it. Yeah. Like it may be some days, it may be some weeks. But hey, yeah. So you have said you wanted to do Blase Blase. What you got going on with that? You doing anything with it? So you're not gonna be able to rest with it, man. But I really shout out to those guys for that, man. Because you need people in your corner that holds you accountable.
Yeah. That's. You made a good point though, man. But we did kind of got in. I don't know where we was at, what was going on, but everybody had their I guess everybody had their own, you know, like you said, perspective. And
I think sometimes with us, what the biggest thing is, for one, I don't like translating things through text messages.
Me either.
I don't, because text messages, it leaves you to think about what I said in your own manner. Tone of voice, all this stuff plays a part in it. When I'm speaking to you, we could translate it a different way. And so that day, I'm gonna just be transparent. That day, I felt like y'all guys wouldn't really seeing it from my perspective. And I'm sure y'all felt like I wasn't seeing it from y'all perspective. And all I was thinking about that day was like, the journey is always personal. Everybody takes a different route. We all trying to get to the same destination. It's just we take a different route. So for some people, they may be work, 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 work. For me, I may be work, work, work. I'm going to take me a self day. Work, work, work. Might take a self day. But so it's different ways. If all of us trying to get to Florence, there are a million ways to get to Florence. But at the end of the day, the destination is Florence. So it's always a personal journey. And sometimes we are all, to a certain extent, alpha males, and we want our perspective to be seen. And we want, you know, but it wasn't no beefing thing. Like, it's never no beefing thing. And you need, like I think when we got on FaceTime one day, like, we said you need that, and that's what a spat. Yeah. Like I don't want no circle of people who's always yes, 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 yes. Iron sharpen iron. So even when you have spats, the mature part is to be able to come back. Like, yo, the next day I text the group because I woke up super early. The next day I text the group like none of that ain't happened. I knew we would eventually circle back around to the conversation.
Yeah.
But I wanted to circle back around not through text messages, through actual either voice or in person conversation. So. Y'all, the point for this little thing right here that I'm saying is, when you got a good friend group, everything is not going to always be peaches and cream. Everything is not going to always be eye to eye. We're not going to always see eye to eye. But when you got good people in your corner, cherish them, because that's not something that you find every day. When you got people that literally got your best interests at heart, cherish those people. Cherish those relationships, because in today's society, they tell you, cut everybody off. Cut them off. They do something you don't like, cut them off. They don't see the same way you see it, cut them off. And that's not the way that life goes. When you got good, genuine, legit people, understand y'all going to have disagreements. Y'all going to have times where y'all not seeing eye to eye. That don't mean cut nobody off. But, you know, we could spin the block and talk about it again. But you're going to have these things.
Females do that.
Right. That's a female trait.
Females would cut you. They cut each other off, man, because right, they don't like what somebody was saying, even though it was the truth.
Right, that's a female trait. And the Bible even speaks on correction sometimes. It don't feel good. The Bible says that. And so I'm not saying either one of us was correct in the situation, because that's not even the point. But the point of this is to let y'all know everything is, even when y'all hear us on the air, and y'all thinking like, oh man, sometimes we don't see eye to eye, and it's okay. It's cool. That's why you always know that the journey is personal. You pull what you can pull, what you can't pull, you let it sit there. So that's that with that. I don't even know how we got on this or how I went off on this tangent.
I don't know. I'm glad you mentioned it. So how do we you think it's good for us individually? We got a group to kind of pull back, and then, you know what I'm saying, then go back in. Cause you know, men like to isolate. You think it's best for men to isolate themselves and then come back?
I think sometimes we isolate ourselves too much. It's good to have alone time. It's great. I'm 100% behind that. But sometimes I feel like as men, we get so isolated that it's hard to bring a group feeling and to do anything together. Like, because in our natural state, we are loners. Like, most people are loners. Most men are loners. But
that's what I get ready to say, because I know most men are loners. They like to kind of be to themselves. But I figure, like, how we gonna sharpen each other iron?
You can't do that if you're always alone. That's why I think, like, that way of thinking is we are, the Bible said we are strengthened through the testimonies of our brothers. Maybe not word for word, but that's basically the gist of it. So you may be going through something, or you may have went through something in life that can help me. But if I'm so isolated, I can never hear your testimony. I can't draw strength from that, because I'm just so by myself, and I'm so like you. Like, sometimes you need help navigating life, because I may be able to tell you, just for an example, hey man, I was trying to get this business started and I don't know blase blase. When I was starting my business, this is what I had to do. Mm-hmm. Boom, you just helped me out. But if I'm so isolated, I'm running through a wall, and I keep on running through a wall when I got people in my circle that can help me navigate something. So if you always alone and just isolated, bro, you can't draw from nothing, because it's only you.
Yeah.
And your way of thinking, sometimes you have to get outside of your own mind and your way of seeing things and listen to other perspectives. The same way you just put me on about the white therapist. Imagine if we would have never had this conversation. I would have been going into it, if I was looking for a therapist, I would have been going into it, I got to find somebody black. But when you just said what you just said, that opened my eyes. That gave me another perspective. Like, dang, you know what? What he said actually makes sense. So that's why it's important to have conversation, to be around like-minded brothers, to be around people that you can draw from.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do recognize. Like when things getting kind of a little tense, man, I tend to I kind of draw back a little bit, but not too long, because I know the biggest strategies from the enemy is to get you alone. You know,
divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. You look at wolves. That's, you know what I'm saying, when they, you know, when they going for a prey, or if it's a staple of sheep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What they do is they, you know what I'm saying, they get in their little villa shape, and one of them go on the west and one of them go on the east, and they start like singing one of them out. And you know what I'm saying? That's how I kind of look at the enemy.
Right. So
that's
what
I normally do.
So I think, like, you know, it's power in but when I say that, I mean like-minded people. Whatever you're into, whatever your thing is, be around like-minded people. Don't just go find some people to link up with, because just don't find anybody. Find some people that's either where you are, trying to get to where you're going. Like, find people that you have a commonality with. Don't just go you see some guys walking on the street. Hey man, y'all want to be friends? Y'all want to go hang out at Buffalo Wild Wings? That ain't what we talking about. We talking about, man, solid people, solid guys. That's what we talking about.
Okay, yeah, man. Dang, I hate that we guess we coming up to an end. So any last words, Q? Because, you know what I'm saying, you've been on the road lately, man.
My last words is something that you said. It's really from B, but I'm gonna say it. Man, on your journey to get better, man, make sure you just look for different ways, read, you know, self affirmations. And if you need a therapist, man, don't worry about the stigma behind it. Just go for it and try to, you know, find you some help, man. Get you some self-time. Get you some me time.
Okay. Yes, sir. So we towards the end of our show. We want to thank y'all, all the listeners. And hey, do us a favor, man. Make sure you share this to your brother that you know that be going hard all the time. And he need to self-prioritize his time. You know what I'm saying? Do some self-time. So you got a brother, a friend, a homeboy, man, send this to him. Make sure you visit our Facebook page and our Instagram page, man. We got a lot of things on there too as well. And like always, man, I'm your host, Brandon.
And I'm Q.
And guess what, y'all? We out.
Yes, sir.